Boop-a-doop-boop-boop. Druids and cars go into festivals. They can chat about things. It's a druid podcast in cars.
Sometimes the best parts of festivals are the discussions that surround them, reflections on what we did and heard, anticipation of what's to come, and processing what it all means in relation to our spiritual work. We wanted to help either introduce you to that phenomenon or extend it for you. That's what this is about. I'm Reverend Jana Vende.
And I'm Reverend Michael J. Dangler. We're priests of Arnriach Fane and members of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. We're recording these sessions actually live in cars, actually going to festivals and events, so you will hear road noise, turn signals, and navigation prompts. But that's part of what makes it fun.
So, sit back and enjoy Druids
in cars
going to festivals.
So, we're getting ready right now for the Summerland Festival, which is our last festival before our next in-person festival, which we might actually get to go to.
Maybe, if things, you know, stay sane and it doesn't get canceled.
But... Indeed. Wear your mask, get your vaccinations, please. And we will be in a car going to a festival once again for the first time in 2 years.
And we'll be driving for 24 hours total.
We will. It'll be great. So... Last time we did this, we got all of 2020's episodes done in 2019, and that got us through that. We've been a little bit less consistent this year, but I am excited to once again be consistently producing episodes, even if it's all in one shot, even if this is the only chance we get to do it for the next 2 years again.
Yeah.
So if you have topics that you want to ship over to us, please feel free to do so. Send them over to druidsandcars@threecranes.org or post them on our Facebook page or send us a Facebook message, however it is you'd like to do it. But get us some stuff to talk about, because every time we sit down, we're like, all right, well, our list is either getting dry or it's stuff that we need to prep for and we can't do it off the cuff. So send us more stuff, more ideas, please.
Yes, please.
One of the cool things, though, is that one of our ADF members, Hobbs, posted and asked if you could sit down with a priest and ask them some questions, what would you ask?
And I shamelessly stole from that list.
We sure did, and I appreciate that particular bit of pilfering, because it got us today's topic.
So today, there were a couple of questions that kind of bounced around this idea of how do you balance your vocation with your, like, everyday life? How do you avoid burnout? Basically, how do you handle all the things you do as a human, including your work as a priest, without losing yourself?
Yeah. I mean, both of our lives are remarkably full.
Yeah, yeah.
We've both got kids. I've got a kid with diabetes.
Well, and the kids are now getting old enough that they have their own activities that you have to, like, drive them to and then sit there while they do them.
Yep. So I've got soccer practice and dance practice coming up this fall.
Yep.
Which is basically going to shoot out two of my nights to do other things. My wife works late often, so, you know, there's a lot of stuff to fill the time.
There's a lot of life in the life balance.
There's a whole lot of life in the life balance. And yet we still have to do all the stuff that we do for our grove. There's the stuff that we have to do for ourselves and our own commitments and relationships. And so it's a very full life, this priesting.
Yeah, it was
thing.
Really interesting filling out. The clergy council has started doing a, like, clergy satisfaction survey internally to kind of see how us as priests are dealing with that kind of stuff. And one of the questions on there was, how many hours a week do you spend doing priest work? And so trying to figure that out, do I do 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, so on and so forth.
It'd be much easier if it was per day, frankly. per week, there's so much that goes on.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I also have trouble adding up those numbers. It is, in fact, an exercise unto itself, how one gets to that number, because a lot of the stuff that we do doesn't fall neatly into one or the other.
Yeah, some weeks fall into that, like, 5-hour range, and some weeks fall into that, like, 25-hour range for me. Like, it just really depends what's going on.
It does, and, you know, there's stuff that flows between clergy work and everything else that we do in our lives.
Yeah, sometimes those boxes aren't super neat.
They're not. I mean, how do you count the time you spend in front of your hearth shrine with your family? Is that clergy work? Probably.
Yep.
I count it that way. But do you count it that way? Does everyone count it that way? Does everyone have the same metric there? I don't know. Some people may just count it as, okay, I'm running a ritual, that's clergy work.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's hard to quantify.
Well, and like, if I find it especially hard to quantify when you're talking to someone, like you're talking to one of the folk, and the conversation shifts to like putting on your priest hat. And it's, so then you're counting, like, how many hours am I spending doing stuff? Well, I mean, where do you put that? So, it gets complicated.
Yeah. And I have this visual now of a member of the folk engaging you in conversation and then somebody else creeping up behind you and slipping a hat, a priest hat, over your head. And all of a sudden, you're a priest.
I should really make one.
You should. You can just pull it out and put it on.
I'll put it on with my stole whenever we do rituals.
Can it be one of those conical golden ones that
I was thinking, like, I was thinking like witch's hat.
Yeah, that'd work. But in a lot of ways, the way that I tend to manage it, and it is always complicated. There's never an easy way to quantify. There's never an easy way to say, this is how much time I spend. I tend to think about our vocation-life balance as something that is kind of rooted in the vocation. It is the work and the vocation that brings me joy. It's what focuses me. It's what centers me. And if you've been paying attention very long, you will recognize those three keywords from my initiate work. It's all about focus and joy and the center for me, and that is kind of where I build myself out from. And as I've been writing this workshop for Summerland, which is all about finding and making connections from a solitary space, I have found that I have a lot of ways to connect to the community, to our grove, to my spirituality that come from finding a place of solitude, finding a place at my center, finding a place where I can focus, and deriving joy from that. And so, in a lot of ways, I don't always feel the necessity to balance out my priestly work with more life. I find a lot of necessity in balancing out my life with more priestly work.
So, I have a tendency to hyper-focus on things.
No.
Which means that I'll just be cruising along and have a pretty good balance on, like, I'll be feeling good about how much time I'm spending doing priest work and how much time I'm spending with my kids and how much time I'm devoting to, like, my own hobbies. And then something will, like, super interest me and I will dive straight down into it and hyper fixate on that. See, also, my new book.
Indeed. We should talk about that at the end.
We should. But yeah, so I'll hyper-focus on something and realize that I've, like, lost days working on those kinds of things. So for me, when I have recognized that I've been in a cycle of that happening, I've actually taken the time to, like, keep a timesheet, because not as a, like, I need to keep a timesheet for whatever other purpose, but for me it's really a, how much actual time am I spending doing these kinds of things? There was a fellow priest at one point who said that sometimes ADF becomes the other woman in the relationship.
My wife says that sometimes.
And so when I notice myself hyperfixating, sometimes I'm like, I should really make sure that I'm not, like, neglecting my relationships and the rest of my life. So that is something for me that I have to be careful of, not on a everyday basis, but when I get into this cycle of hyperfixation, and get really interested in a project that I'm working on, I definitely have to be aware of that.
Yeah. One of the questions that I get asked a lot, because, I mean, we do this podcast, we write books, mm-hmm. we put out articles. Most recently, I put out an article about the reasons that I won't write a religious exemption letter for vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent that out to the other clergy so they would have something to work from. And I sent it to Oak Leaves. It may appear, who knows, down the road. It's just past Lunasa now, so it certainly won't appear before Samhain. But we do a lot of that kind of work. And every so often, someone will say, how do you do so much stuff? And I often look at it, and I'm like, I don't really feel like I do all that much. I feel like, you know, there are other people out there doing more than I am. I feel like this is the bare minimum that I can do. And if you show up at my Summerland workshop tomorrow, I think it is. So it'll be after or before this podcast comes out, I'm sure. But you'll hear me say that again, you know, there is more that I can do. There is more that I can work on. And that's the thing that I have to constantly moderate in myself is, no, I'm doing okay.
Yeah.
I don't need to moderate by taking more on. I need to moderate differently.
For me, it's really about making it more even. Because, like, I notice this when I'm posting on Patreon. Like, I will hyperfixate, and I'll have, like, a whole bunch of things that I've scheduled out so that they post properly, which sometimes I have to be like, no, you have to schedule them. You can't just post them all right now, no matter how excited you are about them. You can't post 15 things over the course of 2 days.
No one will read them all.
But
remind yourself of that. No one will read them all.
But for me, like, because I go through these dips of my own personal practice where I'm in a lull and I'm not really doing much hearth work, and I go through these dips of trying to not take on too much or step back a little bit, and so it would be real nice to have that be real even and not have the fluctuations in it. But yeah, I think part of the way that you and I both manage that balance and that burnout. So, for instance, at our summer solstice ritual, I think it was, we were looking for Grove members to take parts in ritual, and I messaged the officers and the ritual team, and I was like, just so you guys know, I'm not taking on anything for this rite, because I just need to not overstretch myself and take a break. And everyone was real cool about it, because we're all about supporting each other's mental health and other health. But knowing that I can rely on not only you as fellow clergy, but also when we're doing, like, Grove work, we've got a really strong Grove with lots of people who know what they're doing. So it's not like things are going to fall apart if I need to take a step back.
Well, and that's the other half of that culture of trust thing that I like to talk a lot about. You know, we trust that people can do the work. and we let them know that we trust that they can do the work. Mm-hmm. But we also trust that if we don't do the work, someone else will pick it up.
Yeah.
And they do. And that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But it's this cycle of trust that you just have to keep feeding. And part of feeding that is stepping back from time to time and just saying, I trust y'all to do it.
Yep.
You'll get it right. It's cool.
Yep.
And that is a really tough step for a lot of groves to take, is particularly for a founding senior druid or, you know, a priest or someone who's been doing this a really long time. It's really hard to take that step back, but you have to.
Well, and I think that's really a huge key to avoiding burnout, is not forcing yourself to do everything all the time.
Yes.
'Cause that's a recipe for disaster. Maybe not immediately, but eventually.
Yeah. And I mean, it's worked out well with timing for us. Like, when I had the twins, I stepped back pretty far, and you stepped in,
mm-hmm.
and that worked out real well. And you know, we've had good luck across the board on timing for this sort of stuff. So when you step back from being barred, Mike stepped in. It's mm-hmm. it's a nice.
Well, and I'd like to point out that when you stepped back when you had the twins, I was not a priest yet.
Nope.
Like, there's no requirement that the person who steps in has to
be on the same, not level, but on the same, you know, they don't have to have the same title.
Yeah, well, and they don't necessarily, like, you know what you're good at. They don't have to be good at all the same things as you.
Yes, they don't have to have the same skill set even.
Yeah.
Because they'll do stuff differently, and that's okay. It can be scary, but it's totally okay, because mm-hmm. they're competent, and you trust them. And the worst thing that can happen is you end up with new traditions. And if those traditions are bad, you won't do them anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, learning to trust and learning to step back is one of those things that a lot of people aren't comfortable with, but need to do.
Yeah. I think one of the other ways that I kind of work on that balance is by not maintaining the separate boxes, by integrating as much as I can my religious life to my mundane life.
I do the same.
Because it puts less pressure on you to do the religious things if they're part of what you would just do anyways.
Yes. Not too long ago, my wife was having some difficulty with baking, and she loves to bake. She couldn't get the macarons to go just right. And so she brought her Hestia statue out of the bedroom and down into the kitchen, which, frankly, we should have thought about that beforehand. But in so doing, she was able to kind of build that sacrality, sacredness around that process. And I think that helped immensely. Certainly the macarons are coming out better now. So whether it was divine intervention or simply integrating and finding a way to solve two problems at once.
You know what I should do?
What should you do?
So you know how I've been having this lull in personal practice?
Yeah.
And so on my coffee maker, I have a post-it note that says devotional, and it's stuck to the coffee maker. Well, it's been there long enough that now I can ignore the post-it note.
You need a different color post-it note, at least.
No, what I think I should do, talking about your wife bringing down her Hestia statue, is I should literally take one of my statues, possibly my Hestia, and put it on top of the coffee maker so that I have to physically move the statue to lift up the lid to put in the coffee grounds and the water. And, you know, then I'll be having to do something and then I'll put it back together.
Yeah, there you go. Make sure that your coffee maker is stable on the top so
that it's plenty stable.
Doesn't fall over.
It's plenty stable.
No, there's lots of good strategies to managing it, but I don't... I don't often think about how I balance stuff. In a lot of ways, it just kind of happens for me. But then again, I'm also not a deeply anxious person. I'm not the sort of person who worries, have I done enough?
Just call me out like that, man.
I'm not saying that you are. But what that means, though, is that then I have to consciously ask that question. Because if I don't, then that's when I can start to slip, is if I'm not thinking about it and not actually, you know, drawing that line and saying, all right, well, I have to do this stuff, then I may just not do it. And it may not bother me at all. And that's not a place I want to be in either.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a lot easier to track the physical things. So, like, I keep a spreadsheet of all of the stuff that I physically go out and do for tax mileage.
Yeah.
Like, which, in 2020, was like, well, I just don't have to fill this out this year.
Pretty much.
Which means I'm now out of the habit of doing it.
Same here.
But it's a lot harder to quantify those just other things that you do as a priest.
Oh, there's apparently a tomato festival out here where we're doing our ritual.
That would explain the traffic.
That's going to be interesting when we think about what we do for Summerland in 2 days.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, because it said the 12th through the 14th.
We'll have to take a look at that.
Yeah.
But anyway, those are kind of the ways that we manage burnout and
work-life balance.
Work-life balance, vocation-life balance, as it were.
I suppose for me, it's work-life balance. For you, it's more like work-life balance.
I mean, I do have a few jobs. I've got this whole priesting gig. I've got my my day job. I've got the magical druid. I've got my Patreon. I've got...
Oh, I didn't count that. That lumps into priest work. That's fine.
It does for you. but, you know, there's a lot going on in life, and I think that what you said earlier is very poignant, which is, you know, the less division you have between these things, and I don't have much division between them at all. I mean, even at my day job, I have a little bit of time here and there to work on druidy stuff, and that gives me the opportunity to not burn out on that too.
Yeah.
So even that is healthy. Just try not to spend too much time. I try to hyper-focus on my druidism when I am, you know, negotiating contracts and things like that.
Yeah.
Which is, in its own way, a rather druidy sort of thing to do. So.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, and there's more to come.
We welcome your ideas and questions. If there's something you would like to hear us discuss in a future episode, please drop us a line at druidsandcars@threecranes.org.
If you'd like to donate, you can do so at threecranes.org/donate.
Druids and Cars Going to Festivals is a production of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. Our theme song's lyrics were written by Arthur Shipkowski, and the music is written and recorded by Mike Biershank.
Learn more about our grove at threecranes.org, and more about druidry at adf.org.
As always, keep circulating the tapes, and let us pray with a good fire.